This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Wow. I'm really so honored and privileged to be here this evening. Thank you, Philip, for having me, us here. We're really honored. Thank you so much. And thank you for each and every person that's here this evening. You could have been somewhere else, but you made a decision to be here. So I'm trusting God for whatever you're trusting God for, that you will not leave here without receiving what you wanted from the Lord. So I hope you're expectant. I don't hear any. I hope we're expectant. Amen. I just want to say God is really awesome. God is really good. CJ is just traveling all over, and he just ministers in song. He's married, got two beautiful kids, and he just loves the Lord. And I just love the way he ministers in song. You know, it is really his heart. And there's a song he sung. I didn't ask CJ what songs he must sing. It's what God has laid on his heart. And what he doesn't know is that the song he sang second, God, I give you full control. Ignite it in my soul, but I give you full control. And, you know, I've been praying and asking the Lord, Lord, what is the message that you want me to share with this beautiful people of yours, and you know, to wait on the Lord to really have a word from him, you have to be patient and you have to wait until you get that word. And he just confirmed it with me through the song of CJ. So when I was standing there, I don't know how to thank God. I don't know how to praise God, because we can do nothing without God. Apart from him, we are nothing. We cannot bear fruit. We cannot achieve what he wants us to achieve and bear the fruit that he wants us to bear. So I am so excited. I am so grateful. I'm so thankful that the word that the Lord has given unto me is the word he wants me to share this evening. And it was a question before I start sharing. Every time I minister, I don't wear shoes. I remove my shoes. And for some of you that have ever heard my testimony, who has heard my testimony when I ministered? Ooh, not many. But you would remember that why I removed my shoes. And the reason for that is when I was in prison, God showed to me that he's going to put me on different platforms. And whatever platform he put me, I must remove my shoes. And that is to remind me to remain humble, because it's so easy to fall into pride. It's so easy to forget where you come from. And this is the reason why the shoes go, because God says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. As in John 15 says, we can't do nothing without the Lord. So that shoes, I'm going to be a little bit shorter. Not that short, eh? Word that, as I was praying, and God pop a question to me. And the question was, who or what is controlling you? I stood there and, you know, I said, Lord, I'm praying. Now you're dealing with me, but I'm praying what I need to share. He says, this is the question. Who or what is controlling you? And I had to go quiet and I had to search within me to ask myself, who or what is controlling me? Is it my situation? Is it my emotions? This? Is it his word? What is or who is controlling me? And that really made me quiet. And the verse God gave me, just before I go further, the paper you have, it's not for you to take notes. Okay? That paper is that I want you to write. It's going to be opened just by me, okay? So what's going to be on that paper is that I want you, whatever I'm going to pop that question to you. So just keep your paper for now, okay? And the verse God gave me, which I believe everybody is familiar with, but you know, sometimes you can read one verse over and over and God just speaks to you differently every time. And the verse God gave me was Romans 12, verse 2. If you have your Bibles, you can open it, but I will read it. It says, Romans 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, I looked at that verse. I looked at, he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. And then God took me right back before I went to prison. I did not know the Lord. I come from a Muslim background. So I grew up with my aunt, and even though my grandparents were Christians, but because I lived with my aunt, I started following the Muslim religion. So God just took me back. And the question came to me, what controlled me when I was in the world before I got arrested? And two things came up. One was ambition. I was a very ambitious person, which is a strong desire that you want to follow. I was very ambitious, and I wanted to become a model. I wanted to enter Miss South Africa. I wanted to have a clothing store. I loved fashion. I wanted to become a designer. And, you know, I was just trying to pursue these things. And then the other thing which was controlling me was the love I had for my boyfriend. And, you know, when you love somebody, you trust them. And when you trust someone, they can do whatever they want with you because you love them. And if you love someone, you trust them with your heart, with your emotions, with your life. And when those two questions popped up, I looked at it, and I was just following like how I was controlled, who and what was controlling me. And it was these two things. Nothing is wrong with those things. But what was in the way when I looked at it, I was very ignorant, number one. I was young and ignorant. I thought I was a person who knew it all. If you come to that place, that I know it all. And clever within my own self. So these are the things that kind of messed up vision I had. And as I was sitting and I was looking at this, and I realized that vision and the love I had for my boyfriend died the day I entered the prison gates. What can happen in your life, and the desires and the love that you have, it can just take everything away. So when I walked into that prison, I looked at love and ambition. Ambition was controlling me before I entered prison. So when I entered prison, I looked at what was controlling me then. It was my anger. It was the hatred. It was the bitterness. It was my broken heart. It was fear. It was my situation. So my cleverness and my know-it-all couldn't help me at that time. And then I've learned that whatever controls you can either build you or destroy you. And then I came to the verse. I'm going to come back to this verse. Romans 6, verse 16. And it says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey. I choose to obey at that time my anger, my hatred, my bitterness, my broken heart. So that was what was controlling me at that particular time. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. We all have choices. So I look back and I see at that time what was controlling me. And I was in that state, and I was controlled by my situation. My anger, my hatred, my bitterness, I pushed people away from me. I did not speak to anybody. And when I looked at that situation, I looked at what helped me to come out of that control. A person that came to me to tell me about Jesus. Somebody has told me about Jesus before I went to prison. But it all depends on the person, on you. I did not open my heart at that time. But when this lady in the prison came to me, and all she did was she gave me a magazine. It was a Joyce Meyer magazine. I'll share that with you, how I came to know the Lord. As many of you here have not heard that. So this gave me this magazine. And you know, when you're in a situation, now you can must remember, I was controlled by all these things, my situation, fear. I was scared. I was afraid. I felt lonely. I was desperate. She gave me this magazine. I started reading this magazine. A lot of people's prayers have been answered in this magazine. So now, in my situation, not understanding everything, I have one prayer. I wanted to go home. So through this magazine, I'm thinking that, if God can answer all these people's prayers, he might as well answer mine as well, which was that I want to go home. Didn't think of anything else. And as I was reading to this magazine, I came to a salvation prayer. And I came to this salvation prayer where Jesus died and he raised up for our sins. He died, he raised up on the third day, he died for our sins. And that when you confess your sin, Jesus will come in your heart. And you receive the Holy Spirit, and it was speaking about speaking in tongues. Now, I've never heard of that, and I do not know what is that. But I was so desperate that I said this prayer, and when I said this prayer, I said it with everything inside of me, not expecting what would happen next. And what happened was, I was all alone. And because I prayed this prayer with everything that was inside of me, because of desperation, that I wanted my prayer answered. Not understanding everything, not understanding how this God works, not understanding much about God, or not even anything about God. All I came across was he answers prayers. And when I said that prayer, because I meant it with everything inside of me, my head hit to the pillow, I started speaking in a language I didn't understand that really scared me. I was so afraid. I didn't know what was happening. When I went to this lady to tell her what happened, she was rejoicing because the angels in heaven is rejoicing because of the soul who came to Christ. But I didn't know at that time when I made that decision, it was the beginning of a new life. I have given my heart to Jesus, that I've given full control of my life. Does it just happen like that? No. But things started to change. What started to change? Self was in control. So because that I received Jesus Christ in my heart, that he started taking control of my life, that meaning I had to give my life to the Lord, spend time with the Lord, get into the Word of God, be around people that's like-minded. And that is how I started growing in the Word of God. And because self was in control, anger, fear, hatred was in control, because of Jesus and because of giving him control, all that started to go. Because now I've given him control and I was letting go. The hurt, the unforgiveness, the anger, the hatred. Just look at the different controls. And when he started controlling me, know, things started to change. I started thinking differently. Now I had a this. Now I wanted to help others. I wanted to look at other people in a different way about me. It's not keeps on. Is it me? Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. So it wasn't all about me. Then I started thinking about somebody that didn't have food. I started thinking about somebody who's sick. That is when Jesus started to take control of my life. But I gave him, I opened my heart and allowed Jesus to come in and take control. So things started to change in my life. Does it mean that now that I give Jesus control, that I won't be able to face things, that I won't be able to go through things? No, we do go through stuff. I didn't understand. I thought when I came to Christ, it's going to be rosy. Everything is going to be fine. No problems, no more hurt, no more pain, no more struggle, no more suffering. I had it all wrong. Believing in Jesus, he gives you the strength and the ability to deal whatever you are facing, whatever you are going through. And that is what I came to learn, which I did not know. Does it mean you're going to doubt God at times? Yes, I did. I doubted God. Even being a Christian, trusting God, believing in God, serving God, I prayed a prayer. I asked God to take me home. I trusted God with everything that was inside of me. I submitted a royal pardon application to the King of Thailand to ask for leniency, to ask for freedom. I had very influential people writing on my behalf to ask for leniency, to ask for freedom. And when the answer came back to say that it has been rejected, do you know how I felt? Believing and trusting in God, he was in control of my life. What happened? I allowed disappointment to take control of my life. Because I was disappointed in God for not answering my prayer. What started to happen because of the disappointment? I started having the anger for ending up in prison and against those people who have put me there. So the anger started coming back. Because now I've given disappointment control and I've pushed Jesus aside. Then I started having the anger, the unforgiveness, and the bitterness. Because of being in this situation, I'm suffering, and and everything I'm going through, it is not what I wanted. So now I'm angry, and I'm upset. Somebody ever been in a place like that? So now, that anger that was controlling me led to depression, anxiety, and panic attacks. Now that was controlling me, and it led to that I was losing hope in life, beginning to lose hope. Because I have given the spirit of disappointment control over me, and it was controlling me. Until when I laid in the hospital, everything or any situation to change, we have a choice. I was laying in that hospital, and I gave up on life. Again, God being so merciful, so gracious, loved us so much. He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And as I was laying in that hospital, giving up on life, ready to die, I was so depressed, I fell into a deep depression. Again, one inmate came in. I'm laying there, not caring about anything or anybody. And that lady stood there, and she started to talk to me and say, Vanessa, you're laying here giving up on life, thinking only of yourself. You don't think about your child. You don't think about your family. I looked at this woman. I was suffering from depression. I fell into a deep depression, anxiety. If you suffer from anxiety attacks and panic attacks, I was hyperventilating the whole time, so I was exhausted. I was drained. Take so much energy from me. And as I was laying there, this woman was saying to me that, Vanessa, you only think of yourself. And I looked at this lady, and I'm no idea what I'm going through. And you know, sometimes you're in a place like that, and you think nobody understands you. Nobody understands what you are going through. But that's what the devil does. He makes you think of me, I, and myself. And this lady, you know what? I thank God for mature Christians. Because this lady, when she came, she stood there. She wasn't moved by my facial expressions. She wasn't moved by the attitude I have. Because sometimes we can have attitudes. And we can have facial expressions. You know, she could have looked at me and said, listen here. Stuff you. I'm getting out of this place. I came here to pray for you. I came here to encourage you. And you still have an attitude. But you know what? Being mature, she looked not at the person, but she looked at the greater plan. She was looking at this soul that the devil wants to kill, to steal, and destroy. So that lady stood there, and she just took me by my feet. It was ice cold, and this lady took authority and started praying for me. She took control of the situation. And she prayed for me. She stepped in the gap for me. And when that lady prayed for me, he says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when that lady prayed for me, things started to happen. I started to see my daughter's face. Tears welled up, because I haven't cried in a long time because of the hatred, the bitterness, the anger, and the unforgiveness. That I started to cry. I haven't cried in a long time. And then when I saw my daughter's face, I said to myself, I cannot do this. I cannot give up on life. My daughter and my family is waiting for me. I had to make a choice. Went on my knees and said, Lord, please forgive me. Have mercy on me. God is righteous and just to forgive us. But we have to turn back with everything that's inside of us. As I was laying there, I went on my knees. I asked them to help me because I was so weak. And I cried my heart out. And then God said to me, forgive. If you don't forgive, I will not forgive you. That hit hard. But I had to make a choice. If I'm going to be in control, if I'm going to give God control. When I asked forgiveness, I opened my heart again and I put self aside. I said, Lord, forgive me. So when God came in, I had to give him control. I did give him the control when he said, despite of what happened to you, you need to forgive. And it's not an easy place to be if somebody has really harmed you and hurt you. But because I gave him control, I said, Lord, I hate so much. Help me to forgive. That's when I gave Jesus control. And when I gave him control, I started having hope again. I started believing again. Because I gave Jesus control. And I started seeing myself out of that hospital, walking out of that prison. I didn't see that before, because when fear and giving up on life was controlling me, I could not see further than my situation. You know, when I looked at that, whenever I gave something control, I became a slave to that particular thing. And then it controlled me. And there's consequences to that. And after that, when God just opened a way for me to return home, after spending 16 and a half years in prison, which was not an easy situation. We might find ourselves in situations that is not easy. But when we give Jesus full control, he gives us everything that is needed to be able to endure or to go through the situation. Because God is busy making us and preparing us for whatever is ahead. So me standing here, which I thank God when he made me look through that process, like, who did I put in control? And I realized every time that I put self or anger or hatred or Jesus in control, the situation changes. So the day that I walked out of that prison and returned back to South Africa, and I looked back, I was so grateful and thankful to God that I made the decision to turn back to Him, to give Him control over my life again. If I did not do that, I would not be able to stand here today. So I'm thanking and praising God for that. So when that question popped up, I realized then the choice is ours. So God is asking us that question. Who or what is controlling us today? Is it Jesus? Is it His word? Is it friends? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it men? Is it women? Is it pornography? Is it sex? What is controlling us today? Then I looked at it and I said to myself, what do I spend most of my time with? What do I think mostly about? If you ask yourself a question, what do I think mostly about? Do I think about God? Do I think about His word? Do I worry? Do I have fear? What do I think? What do I talk mostly about? My emotions? My situation? My past? We sang that song that says, when Jesus set you free, you are free indeed. Because if we are still controlled by something besides Jesus, it is a problem. Because if we give Jesus full control, He will be able to use us for His glory. And we'll be able to walk in the destiny that He has ordained for us. Because it says in Jeremiah 29:11, I have a purpose and a plan for your life. Not to harm you, but to prosper you. And you know, that is only a question each one of us can answer. Are you controlled by your past? Are you only thinking about your past? Are you only holding on to your past? When Jesus set you free, He set you free completely. Yes, in this world, until we die, we will be tempted by our old lives. But when we give Jesus full control, He will give us the power, the strength, the ability to be able not to fall back into our past, but to be able to follow what He has given unto us. And coming back to this verse again, Romans 12, I'm going to read it again. Romans 12, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't copy the behavior. I looked at that and I said to myself that there's so many things that's happening in this world nowadays that it becomes the norm. Everybody is doing it. It's okay. It's fine. It's nothing different if I also do it. When we are children of God, we don't do the norm. We do the abnormal. If somebody says, take some drugs, and you say, no, I don't, thank you. You are not cool for not taking that drugs. But if you take the drugs, you are cool and you're part of the pack. Stand out. Stand firm. Stand strong. When you know who you are in Christ and you know who's controlling your life, you know where you are going. And it will be easy for you to say N-O. People, they called me. There's a song that DJ sing as well. I think you've written that song. Jesus Free? Yeah, he've written that song. When I heard it for the first time, I laughed so loud. And you know why I laughed? Because in the prison, they called me Jesus Freak. And then it turned to Freaky. And then they started calling me Freaky. And you know, this one girl, she was really on my case. And I really had to pray for patience. Because she really pushed me. And she was behind me like, hey, Freaky, hey, Freaky. And you know, I had to like, God, this is going to irritate me. And I had to say like, you know what? Don't get offended. Don't get upset. Just thank God for it. You know, when I changed my thinking, whenever this lady would say it, I laughed with her. And it didn't affect me anymore. And then she realized it wasn't affecting me anymore. She didn't know what to do anymore. Because she really liked to irritate me. Really, I had to really put to God this lady, eh? But he put her in my path for a reason, because it was self and God. Self and God. You know, that was a real struggle for me, because it's like she was in my face all the time, and the lady was irritating me. I mean, she would do anything she can just to irritate me. And I had to realize that God was teaching me unconditional love. And that wasn't easy, let me tell you. By letting Jesus control, you have to say no to self and yes to Jesus. And the more you spend time in the Word of God, and the more you are surrounded by people who trust and believe in God, you're able. You're able. I was able. First time, second time wasn't easy. Third time wasn't easy. I was getting better. Until I came to the place when I look at this lady, I wasn't looking at her. I was looking at the spirit behind her. That's when we grow and we mature in God. We start seeing things differently. So Romans 12 verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. Somebody will call you Jesus Freak. It's okay. Do you think you're holy? Do you think you're better than me? Who do you think you are? It's okay. I love you anyway. And when you reach that place, you are mature in Christ. When you come to realize, you actually feel sorry for the person. Example, there was this lady from Uzbekistan. And she came up to me and she said to me, because I got a death sentence first. So she said to me, you got a death sentence that was committed to life. You'll never go home. I turned around and I said to her, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, because God has a purpose and a plan for my life. And it is not to stay in this prison. He has a purpose and a plan for my life, not to harm me, but to prosper me. And she looked at me and she says to me, are you rebuking me? Are you saying I'm a devil? Now this lady did not understand. But I wasn't dealing with her. I was dealing with the spirit that's behind her. And I said, I rebuke you. This lady freaked out completely. And she was like, she called me a devil. She called me a devil. And I'm thinking, devil in the name of Jesus. I had to know this lady. She did not understand. And sometimes people will not understand you. You will be weird and you will be crazy. But it's okay. When Jesus told Jeremiah, go, it's not normal. It is crazy. But you will do things because God has said it to you, and it's okay if the world doesn't understand you. I had to sit down and explain to this lady what I meant. And you know what? Just by explaining to her, make her give her life to the Lord. So we need to stand out. Don't copy the behaviors of the world. We are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of the world. So we need to be the in the world. We need to stand out. Yeah, you're not taking drugs. You're not doing what the normal, you know, worldly people do. Going to make you stand out and make you look like a fool to other people. It's okay. Be a fool in the eyes of God. In the eyes of men, sorry, but wise in the eyes of God. And then the verse further says, but let God, not your friend, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, transform you. Let God transform you. Not me telling you how you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do. Let God transform us into a new person. A new person in Christ. by changing the way we think. Our thinking has a lot to do with it. Whatever we think, it's going to manifest. What are we thinking most of the time? What or who is controlling our thinking? Our thinking is very powerful if we give it that power. So that's something to really think about. What are we thinking about most of the time? That is what will control you. But God wants to transform us by starting with our thinking. Think on good and pure and lovely things. The devil is there. He wants you to think on what he wants you to think about. But once we feed ourselves with the Word of God, it transforms our minds and the way we think. If we sit and we read, about an ape, or, yeah, for example, the life of an ape and what it does, and we read it every single day, we're going to start behaving like that ape. That's what we put in ourselves. That's how we're going to start behaving if we do it every single day, every single day. We listen to the videos, talk like them, what we're behaving and behavior, that is what's going to happen. He says, then you will learn to know God's will for you. That if we allow God to transform us, our thinking, and we will know more about Him and what is His will for our lives, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. That is what God wants for us. Don't allow anything to enslave you. You've been set free. You're a child of God. Quick, okay. I have a daughter that was born in the prison, and she was separated from me when she was 3. They took her away from me. It wasn't easy, very difficult for me, but because of God, He kept me and He held me. Despite my hurt, despite my pain, to Africa, she was raised by my best friend, complete other parents. So when I came back home, my daughter was 16. I did not know her. So she's now her own personality, a lady doing her own stuff. I have been praying for this child in prison, sowing seeds. When I came back, I found a complete different person. This child was controlled by the world. And you know, when I came back, I did not know many things. You know, I had to learn how to use a cell phone. I've never seen one. I had to come and learn a lot of things, you know, that made me feel like very stupid sometimes. And so when I came back, this a lot of things have changed. And I looked at my daughter. I was speaking to her, and she says to me, "Stop speaking like a psychologist." I'm looking at her, I'm thinking, "What?" She said, "You speak to me like you're a psychologist." Looking at her, I said, "Listen, I don't know how to be a mother, but I'll try my best to be one." But when I came back, all the prayers I prayed for this girl to serve the Lord and do the right thing, I came to find the complete opposite. Controlled by the world. And then I saw a thing that looked like a snake that I've never seen before. That okapi. My daughter was busy with an okapi. In the world, busy with okapi, busy doing all kinds of wrong things, alcohol, and she is just busy doing her own stuff. Have you seen stubborn? Stubborn. Have you seen rude? Rude. That girl who didn't respect me at all, she was controlled by the world. So all these things came out. No respect whatsoever. Now, here I am. I'm controlled. I've given my life to Jesus. Now, I'm opposed by somebody who gave a life completely to the devil. Now, it's me and her together. Now, Jesus tells me, pray. Pray. Or I said, I've prayed many times. He said, pray. Now the flesh is telling me, just grab her, you know, and just shake her a little bit. So she will just come to her senses. This is what I'm fighting that I'm thinking. No, man, this is not enough. No, we got to deal with this thing. You know, just up a little bit against the wall and say, hey, you know. And I'm having this thing. I remember one night she came home, and I don't think she came from a party or something, and I'm restless, and I'm thinking that I can't control, and God says, go and pray. And I'm thinking, I don't want to pray. I want to use my hands. I was struggling there. I didn't know what to do. I think I broke something. I don't know. But just thinking, God, you know you need to do something. This is now giving Jesus control, and now she's having the devil is in control here, and she just does not care at all. You know that I got to the place that I said to the Lord, you know what? Really, I just had enough. It's just like, and he says to me, go on your knees. Go and pray. That's when we give control to Jesus. The flesh says, do another thing. But when we know who we have given control and allow him to take full control, we will do what he says, even if it hurts. I asked a question to somebody because I knew the answer, but I wanted somebody else. I asked my friend, why did you give up your job? She was in IT. Why did you give up your job to go into ministry? She said, because I love Jesus more. I smiled because I understood exactly what she said. I went on my knees. I remember that they were sitting, I go to the knees part. They were sitting and they were smoking this oka pipe. Well, I had to do something. There's something. You know? I went and I took those oka kites. You see how I broke those stuff? It went against the wall like this. You know? But, and then I went on my knees. You know, and I started praying and I was like, okay, feel good. I broke them. Okay, it's fine. So now I started praying. But you know what? There's nothing by praying and trusting God. And when you pray, God moves. He says, his prayers, whatever we pray, will not return void. The day when she walked in the room and I said to her that, I think she came and asked me, I can't remember what she said. I think she asked me about Jesus or something. What did I say? But I said she must choose either life or death. That's how I said it. Yeah, I said, yeah, stop. You know, she had to understand me. I say things straight. I'm a little bit hard. Not that hard. So I said to her, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You need to make a decision. You want to live or you want to die. She left the room and then she came back. She says, okay, I want to receive Jesus. So I led her to the Lord. Well, it took some time. I didn't know that. I found afterwards that she was still drinking, receiving Jesus, still drinking. This is what I'm saying. You give your Jesus full control for him to allow him to come into your life and start molding us and making us. She received Jesus, gave her life to the Lord. She was still drinking, but then she was cutting it down until it was completely gone. So I thank God today that she has given her life. She has given him control. And how do you know that? When you remain in Jesus, he remains in you. You are recognized by the fruit you bear. You can't say you're a child of God and you can't expect an apple tree to have bananas on. If you plant the apples, you will get apples. If you plant bananas, you will get bananas. If you plant good seeds, you will get good seeds. So whoever you give control to, or whoever you enslave yourself to by obeying that person or that whatever it is, that fruit will be seen by others. You can't hide it for long. It's going to come out. If you're serving Jesus, you've given him full control, it will be evident to see. People will come and go around and say, can I invite you to church? You know, we have a youth. Do you know Jesus? Thinking you're crazy. But that's the fruit, that you are controlled by Jesus. But if you're controlled by somebody, something else, it will be evident. It will be seen. Can't hide things for too long. So the evidence of my daughter is this, which I thank God. She's at university at Monash. She's studying to be a psychologist. And she's studying youth development. Isn't that awesome? But you know, when she gave her life to the Lord, the friends disappeared. I asked her, where's this one? Where's this one? I haven't seen them. Where's this one? She was still speaking to them. They're all gone. You know why? She's controlled by Jesus. They don't have nothing in common. You have to have people like-minded and to be able to grow together so you can go out and go get those friends for Jesus. So today the fruit she bears, Ashes University, I thank God for that. And I thank God that she have really given her life 110% to Jesus Christ. That today she is, this is the fruit, you will see fruit in your life. You're a child of God. That she has started a group at the universe, started a group in El Dorado Park with young girls called Jesus Jewels. What she does is she takes 10 people out, young girls, out of the community, and she walks with them for a year. Teach them on purity, identity, what else? Self-worth. Then every year she ten people. She trained them to train the others, train the others. She also have opened two of these Jesus Jewels in the Eastern Cape. She does outreach with 700, this year, last year was 700 children. 1,000 children. That she's doing outreach in the Eastern Cape. These are fruits that you have given Jesus Christ control. She, if at university, she have the thing that came, that Jesus told her, that she found in a spirit, that she felt he led her to do this, is to start a project called Weird for Christ. That when we serve Jesus, we are weird. We're not normal. You do things that normal. For a young person, you need to be out clubbing, you need to enjoy yourself, but now you're sitting here and you're praying. What's wrong with you? But that's it. Weird for Christ. We don't do the norm. So she started this project and she started putting t-shirts and caps and started wearing it at university. That is where people come up to her and ask her, what does this mean? What is weird for Christ? Opportunity to minister and tell them about Jesus. And that is how she started with this project, being weird for Christ. So the reason why I'm sharing about my daughter with you, it was not an easy one. But because she have put Jesus, give Jesus full control of her life, she start bearing different fruits. Because she's also young like you people, also at university, it is not weird to be weird. But for Jesus. Not another weird, a weird for Jesus. So tonight, the message that was placed on my heart that God confirmed. Know God has been speaking to you about asking you the question, who is controlling you? Who or what is controlling you? Your life, your thinking, your daily life, who is controlling you? Who is controlling you? Jesus wants us to allow him to take full control in our lives. You might be at a place where you say that I've been controlled by many things. But I don't want to be controlled by them anymore. But I feel weak. I feel powerless to let it go. Jesus doesn't condemn you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And he knows why he has given me this message. Because God wants all of us to look, because he wants to use us for his glory. But the devil is busy causing us to give power and control to things that is not of God, that is stealing from us. Stealing, killing, and destroying us. And Jesus wants us to stand up. He wants us to rise up to say that, I am recognize you. I see you. I'm not going to allow you any longer to control me more. I'm going to allow only Jesus to control me. You will lose some friends. But if they love you, they will respect you for what you stand for. We have a choice. What has the devil been tempting you with from giving Jesus full control? You must remember, he has a plan. It is to kill, to steal, and destroy. He wants to take what the Lord wants to bless you with by causing you to give power and control to things that enslave you, to sin and cause you to go in the wrong direction. And he's stealing what God has in store for you. Don't allow him to do that. Don't allow the devil to do that. You need to stand strong and you need to stand firm. If you are here today and you're sitting here and you did not give Jesus full control in your life, say, my child, I love you with an everlasting love. And I want you to give me full control. Nothing to be ashamed about. If you are a child of God, but you have given something else power, something else to control you, Jesus should. I've been there. So it's nothing to be ashamed about. But it's to recognize it and to be truthful and to say that, Lord, I've allowed my past to control me. Even though I said I let it go, but it's still controlling me because I'm still attached to it. And when you're attached to it, you can't move in the fullness and the full authority and the full anointing that God has given you, because you are holding on to things that is the past that has kept you into sin for so many years. Jesus loves us. He wants us to be on fire. He wants us to be ignited. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to, he says, I came so you can have an abundant life. But the devil came to kill, to steal, and destroy by letting you be controlled by things that's not of God. And God says, my child, don't let him no longer enslave you. You are no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free. You are a child of God. God has greater plans for us. What the devil gives us is only temporary. It's not eternal. God has a bright future for all of us, but it's for us to take it. It's for us to rise up and to say, I'm not going to be controlled any longer by peer pressure. I'm not going to be controlled any longer by friends. I'm not going to be controlled any longer by the devil has been putting in my way, but I'm going to let it go and I'm going to allow Jesus to take full control, because I want everything that he has in store for me. It's our choice. It's our choice. Nobody else can make it for you, but you. But you. Not a friend, not a family, but member, but you. It's your future. It's your life. It's in your hands. Power and life. It's in the choices we make. The choices we make today will determine our future. What kind of future do you want? What kind of future do you want? I thank God that I made the choice to turn back to him. Because if I did not, I won't be able to reap what I'm reaping today. And I'm thanking God for that. My daughter wouldn't be reaping what she's reaping today. if she did not give Jesus full control. The devil lied to you. If he has put in you in a place that is controlling you, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, hopelessness, like you don't even believe in anything anymore, say to him, you are a liar. I see you. You have been blinding me for some time, but I have seen you, and I'm not allowing you to do this to me any longer. I am going to take everything that God has given me. I am taking it back. Take it. Take what belongs to you. And let go what is busy destroying you. Because it's not of God. God loves us. He loves us. This is why this question has been popped. Because God knows that some of us has been deceived by the by putting thinking in our heads that's not of God. Trying to deceive us. Trying to want to control us by these things that's not of God. Allow God to control you. Be a Jesus freak. Let them call you freaky. Let them call you holy. Let them call you whatever. But as long as you allow Jesus to control you, you will have everything God has in store for you. Don't allow him to take it from you. This book I've written would not have manifested if I didn't give Jesus full control. I was in prison. I gave up on life. This lady next to me died. But because I turned back to God, I'm able to see the fruit. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful to God for that. Jesus loves you with an unconditional love. Before I want to close, I just want to introduce you to my daughter. If you stand up and turn around so they can see what you're wearing. Take off that jacket. Oh, so you can see. Okay, there we go. That's Weird for Christ. So before I'm just going to pray for people, I just want to have, how many I have, 3, 6? Okay. She's giving, my daughter is giving 3 t-shirts, Weird for Christ, 3 hoodies, Weird for Christ. Is the hoodies for the guys? Whatever. Okay. So I'm going to have, it's 6, right? 6. Very short, very quickly. 3 guys, 3 girls. Just to come up here very quickly, just to say how this message has touched you. 3 guys, 3 girls. Hey, there we go. There we go. Okay, there's the mic. Can you take the mic over there? Okay. 4.
We need one more lady.
One more. Okay, come on, give a hand. Come on, you guys.
Right.
Okay, just say your name for me first, and then you say how this message touched you.
My name's Christoph, and the message really convicted me. Like, I think a lot of the times I find myself, as you explained, Jesus has a lot of control, and then life happens. So I find myself that I'm not growing as fast as I should, because as the Israelites went through the desert, God takes me until I've learned the lesson that I need to learn. So I want to thank you for being faithful and for blessing me with the message. Thank you so
much. You're welcome. Okay. Felicia, bring the t-shirts up. Take it out of the bag and then just go. I think you should just put it out and let them choose whichever one. Okay, you can just choose anyone you want. Okay, the second person. Okay. Okay, wait, you want to choose his thing first? The pink one. She says pink one. To everybody. Oh, okay, come give me a hand. I know why she asked the pink one. Okay, the next person.
Good evening, guys. For me, I think it's the thing where she was talking about ambition being a controlling thing. very passionate about entrepreneurship and business, and I always look at achieving those goals instead of going to Christ and be like, Lord, should I make this decision or not? It's rather just, I think I should, this is where I should be, and so I just go ahead with it.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. You take a hoodie or a t-shirt. Over here. He's going for black. Black and gold. Okay. Great. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Hello. My name is Bolu. And I have very bad stage fright, to be with me. Well, I can personally say it was the control thing that really affected me. Because a prayer I always pray is, Lord, take full control. But I also know in my heart sometimes I just make decisions and I just go for things. And I'm like, no, but I pray that the Lord will take full control. So definitely this decision, he's there. He's taking control. But for me, it's just a thing of like really letting the Spirit lead. And also being bold. That whole thing of that lady praying for you is something I feel like sometimes when friends approach me and they're like, this is going on with me. Sometimes I'm afraid to be too Christian and like I'm cautious of praying for them and telling them, no, the Lord is here, the Lord is present. So I think just that boldness of Christ is in me, he's working through me, is something I'm going to carry with me from now on.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Okay, just choose whatever you want. Okay.
I'm Francis. What spoke to me the most about the message today was letting Jesus take control and allowing him to be that light in your life and allowing him to fight the dark things that will come. For me, I think this message was special for me, especially today, because before I came here, I was talking to my best friend, and she was just asking about what's happening in my life, because I kind of gotten withdrawn recently. And at the end, after I've told her what the problem is and what's going on, and she's like, dude, you're depressed, you know? And that type of thing, it doesn't exist, you know? I don't know what depression is. I've never seen it, especially people around me. And because of that, I think this message was very important, because it helped me and it gave me a way to kind of fight that in my life. And
Amen.
Before I came up here, but okay. I think the thing that she said that hit me, like hit home for me, was the anxiety and the depression and the fear and the disappointment, because I felt that a lot last year, and it took a lot for me to get over that and to trust God again, because through that difficult time, I've lost faith and I've lost trust, and it was really hard to stay focused on what God wants for my life. It felt like he had abandoned me. It felt like I don't even know why I went through that. And I'm still going through it, but giving my life to God, I know that at the end of the day, there's good that was going to come from this. I know that he meant for this to happen for a reason, and I'm patiently waiting to reap that fruit.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm not one to speak in front of people, but I'm letting Jesus take control. So, hey, amen. it's funny enough how just last night, wow, it was in the early hours of the morning, like 2 a.m. in the morning, I was like on my knees begging Jesus to take full control of my life, because amen. I've let certain things take over me, and amen. It's been horrible.
Thank you, Jesus.
And, I don't know, it's just been taking over the joys that I could possibly be having. And I just went down on my knees and I was like, Jesus, take full control. This is not my battle to fight, but it's yours to fight. So I allowed him to take full control, and this message was a confirmation for me, and I feel so good.
Amen, amen. Woo! Thank you, Jesus.
Good evening, everyone. This is the first time I'm here at this church, so I'm very, very excited. So I'm so thankful that I came tonight and to to hear your message. It was really incredible. It's like you have this thing where you're speaking directly to me, and I was just feeling chills throughout my body. And as I was listening to you, I was like, geez, this ambition thing is something to be wary of. Yes, we are striving to be successful in our own rights, but at the same time, we always need to remember to turn to God and always keep Him at the forefront. So I'd just like to say thank you again, and I'm so happy to be here.
Amen. You're welcome. Can I have your name? Debo? Deboho. Deboho, the 6 t-shirts is out, but I have DVDs today as well. No. I have. It was so sweet. But I have DVDs that I will give you guys and get the t-shirt. Okay? God bless you.
Right. Good evening, you guys. I know there was like a max number that was put up for people who could come, but I feel like it's quite important that I stand up. So the whole message actually was speaking to me like entirely. So last year I went to Convergence, and so it's been a thing that's been coming. But at Convergence, actually, God, so I was like up there, like at the front, and I had been going for like a couple number of times because they gave like, you know, intercourse. Like, so I went up and I was kneeling and I was just like praying to God, and like the current leader, like the pastor, Shofar, came to me and like basically held me, and then he started speaking into my life basically, and calling out like my narrative and basically what I stand for. So it's just like, it's been like a journey of growth and basically trying to find. So he basically spoke into my life and what I'm called for, which is what is up here, like what she was talking about tonight. But you know, over the months, it's been a struggle to basically like give my life wholeheartedly to God, and I'm really glad one of my friends is here tonight. And I think, I mean, he can attest to the fact that the guy he's basically seeing here tonight is not completely the guy he sees, you know, in the group that we like basically are in at school and whatnot. And that is basically just like a conviction to me, and how God is basically, you know, calling us out of the lives we're living and giving Him control.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Please come and fetch a DVD, when you're at the back. Wow, you know what, guys? That is really awesome. And we really thank God that God really has touched us this night. And we praise God for that. That's very inspiring and very encouraging. But before we're going to do this last song, I just want everybody to close their eyes and bow their heads for me, please. You know, if God has been speaking to you, you have never, ever given Jesus the full control of your life. Don't look at anybody. I want everybody's heads bowed and everybody's eyes closed. If there's anybody here who has never, ever given their life for Jesus to take full control, this is your opportunity to say, Jesus, I want you to take full control of my life. So wherever you are, everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want you to take full control of my life. Just right there where you are, just right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for those hands. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those hands. Just raise them up unashamed. Unashamed. You must make a bold statement to say, Jesus, I want you to take full control of my life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for all those hands. Unashamed. Raise them up. Stand strong and stand firm and say, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Unashamed. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I know there's more hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Keep them up very high. Keep them up and say, Jesus, I am raising towards you. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I want to take full control of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For those who have raised their hands, I've seen those hands. Just run to the front very quickly. Just very quickly to the front, I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Just clap your hands. Let's thank Jesus. Let's thank Jesus. All those hands just went up. Just all those hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep Jesus' hand. Let's celebrate and thank Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I've learned something from this American lady in prison. When I gave my life to the Lord, she did the weirdest thing that I couldn't understand at that time. When I told her what happened to me in the room, the next thing this lady did, she was dancing and praising God and say the angels in heaven is rejoicing. And this lady with the, you know, with the American accent and everything and the neck and everything was moving. And hallelujah, praise the name of Jesus. We must not lose that. We must glorify and praise God when souls come to Jesus from that life. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know the angels in heaven is rejoicing. I want everybody to stretch your hands towards them. You know how it feels when you came the first time to Christ and you give your life to the Lord. Pray for them. Open your heart. It's not to impress anybody. We're not here to impress anybody. We're here to impress Jesus. So I want you to open your heart and I want you to say this prayer with everything that's inside of you. Because when you receive Jesus Christ in your life will not remain the same. There's nobody who say that I received Jesus, but your life remained the same. Who did you give full control? Because if you give Jesus full control, it will be evident in your life by the fruit you bear. So I want you to open your heart and say this prayer. Jesus loves you. Remember that He loves you. He died for you. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for not acknowledging you. Thank you for dying for my sin. I believe in my heart that you died for my sin and you were raised up on the third day. Lord, please forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me whole and complete in you, that I will serve you and walk in your ways for the rest of my life. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for receiving me as your child. Thank you for loving me with an everlasting life. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for these souls, Lord. I know the angels in heaven is rejoicing over these souls, Lord. Lord, I pray that you protect them. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I say no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Any tongue that shall rise up again and shall be condemned. Lord, I pray that you surround them with Christian people that will walk with them, that they will grow in you, Father God. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, they will not turn left, they will not turn right, but they will walk in your ways and do your will. Put your fire inside of them, that they will hunger and thirst after you, Father God. That they will be on their knees, they will be in the word of God, and they will be the light of the world, and they will proclaim your name and be witnesses for you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We uplift you and we exalt you. Let's give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are they gonna?
Just before we carry on, we'd like to spend just 2 or 3 minutes with you, as much as time as you need. I realize some of you might be going through some stuff and you want some people to pray with you. If you turn around, you're going to see there's a really good-looking person standing right behind you. And they'll want to take time. You can trust them. You can speak to them. Just before you go, can I ask you to remember 3 things? Just 3 things. We want to help you to grow and to really walk this road. 3 things that I believe are really going to sustain you in a beautiful way. The first one, and the person you're going to pray with, no, they'll help you with this, is we've got small groups. Vanessa, I just prayed that groups of people all around us that can help us to walk the Christian life. We've got small groups this week already. Commit to going to a small group. We'll help you find one really close to you. People who'll pray with you. People who'll take your hand. Who'll be there in the hard times and who'll take you by the feet when you're feeling sorry for yourself and pray with you. First thing I want to ask you is this week already, go to a small group. The second one is we have a seminar. It's called Life Encounter. Not sure of the next date, but we're going to send you an email if you guys will give us your contact details, inviting you to the next Life Encounter. That's going to help you just get really grounded well in the Christian faith, to understand something of the Holy Spirit and what it means to study the Word. We want to invite you. It's a morning seminar on a Saturday morning, to a next Life Encounter. So it's small groups and Life Encounter. And then the third one, the tricky one. Are you ready for the last one? The third one, tomorrow morning when you wake up, the first three people, it doesn't matter who it is, the first three people you meet tomorrow morning, will you tell them about the decision you made tonight?
Amen.
Small groups, Life Encounter, and three people. Can you guys remember that? Will you turn around and perhaps meet that person standing behind you? If you haven't yet, you can introduce yourself. And then we've got a room prepared specifically for you guys. Carla, if you guys can just follow Ntando out, just out that door. We have a room prepared for you guys, and perhaps
Amen.
Down the middle here, Melise, if you guys
Amen.
Can go out to the right, you can turn around.
Amen. Let's praise God. Come on, let's praise
God. Head out that way.
I want to do a prayer before we sing this song. And when you're going to sing this song, you're going to sing it with everything inside of you, because you are saying, I don't care if people look at me as a Jesus freak. But before we do that song, I want you to bow your heads. If anybody of you sitting here and you have given, being a child of God, as we have heard some of the testimonies, that you have given some control for the devil in some way, and has been stealing control of Jesus being completely in your life. Everybody's heads bowed. Wherever you are sitting right now, you say, I want you to pray for me, because I have given some control to else beside Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you this evening. Nothing to be ashamed about. We all go through this. But we reach out to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help. He will not condemn you, but he will love you. We are here to pray with you. Just raise those hands. I'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus, for those hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, you see those hands, Lord. You see those hearts, Lord, that is confessing tonight. Say, Lord, I have given control to something besides you, Father God. But tonight, Father God, I'm coming to you and I say, Lord, I'm laying it before you and I'm letting it go. I'm asking you, Lord, I want you to open your mouth and I want you to say, Lord Jesus, I am giving it to you. Lord, take it. I do not want to be controlled by this anymore. Name the name. Give it to Jesus. It's because it's between you and Jesus. And say, Lord, I don't want this to control me anymore. Lord, I pray that you strengthen me. Strengthen my feeble knees and my feeble arms, Lord, that I will stand firm and strong, Father God, that I not allow what I've given away to control me any longer. Lord, I want to be only be controlled by you. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Breathe into me, Father God. Lord, shed your love abroad in my heart. That I will love you the way I used to love you. That I will serve you the way I serve you. That I will walk in your ways and I will do your will, Father God. I do not want to be controlled anymore by anything that is not of you. Lord, I thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for answering this prayer. And thank you for strengthening my brothers and my sisters to know they are not alone, that you are with them. And you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that it's done, that it's sealed. They're not going to take it back. They're not going to go back. Lord, fill them with your spirit and give them desire to read and study the word of God. Lord, that they will get deeper and deeper in the word of God. That they will spend more time with you, Lord. So they will grow in you, Father God. And they will be full of fire for you. Lord, Father God, so they can put those campuses on fire for you, Father God. That they will be the light of the world. They will be the light on the campuses. They will be their Jesus freak. No matter what people say of them, no matter what they think of them, or what fools they made out of them, but they will be a fool for you, and they will be a Jesus freak for you. Father God, we thank you, and we praise you. We uplift you, and we exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give Jesus a hand.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.